Amen. What a wonderful testimony, that song that we love to tell, the story of Jesus. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles and open with me this morning to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I love and I hope that periodically, maybe more times than not, but I love when there's just a God moment. Amen. And this week in preparing this and putting the final touches on it, I had a God moment where I really believe he was speaking a little clearer than at other times as I was putting this together and thinking of everything through. And then I struggle sometimes trying to come up with what am I going to title this message. And then just kind of come in and different options, and then all of a sudden encountering with an announcement or encounters with an announcement. And I was like, okay, God, we can run with this. And I began looking. And then the light came on and he said, in 2024, our word for the church that year was encounter. You've seen it on the screens every Sunday morning. And I said, God, what better way to end the year and start a new year than talking about encounters? Let me tell you what, when you have an encounter of an announcement, things happen in your life. I can remember being a young child and this idea of Christmas all around, and you have these hopes and dreams of what you want for Christmas, and there's all those presents under there, and then maybe they're all open, and that one you were kind of thinking of just wasn't there, and all of a sudden, mom or dad would say, hey. And I remember this one time I was hoping for something, and I went over there, and there it was. I opened that last present, and the excitement that filled me, and I wanted to tell other people about it. Have you ever had anything like that in your life? Think just a minute. Maybe it was Christmas time. Has there ever been that time that you were just excited, you opened something, and it brought some hope? But think about that for just a moment. Maybe it is, maybe there's not, but if there is, just briefly turn to the person next to you and just share what that was. We're going to take just a second to do this. If there's no one around you, you can just kind of say, just kind of tell what that something was that you got. And that's kind of where we are today. We're going to look at this and talk about that, you know, because God provided his son. But God makes no one choose his son. We must receive him. Just as in a little bit, we have the Lord's Supper here, which is available for all born-again baptized believers. It's available, but we must receive it. And we could have it up here all day, and if you never take that little piece of bread or that little juice and receive it, it does nothing for you. And that's what I want us to be looking at today. As we talk about this, would you stand with me this morning as we turn in God's Word and read from Luke chapter 2? We're going to be beginning in verse 8. It says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, to which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly they appeared with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Father God, thank you. Father, thank you this morning for the gift of your word that we have that tells us, Lord, about your love. Father, tells us about this birth of your Son. Father, I pray now that you would just open our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would help our minds to receive your word, that we would understand it, that we would move the truths that we've been convicted of to our hearts. Would you cause us to respond to you this morning? And Lord God, I just pray everything in the precious and most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. One thing I love about this story is you have this majestic announcement that is being delivered to ordinary people, shepherds. You might think, just like I would, if a king was to be born, who would probably be the first one we would think would know? Another king. You would think that the people of power or those in prominent stature would be the first to know. But God chose ordinary people just like you and just like me to be the ones to receive the news first. And then it spread from there. So what I want us to look at first of all that we see in this passage is that the announcement is received by the shepherds. The shepherds, those out in there. There was a glorious announcement, it tells us. How do we know it was glorious? Because it was heralding in the birth of God's only Son at that time. It was heralding in the birth of Jesus Christ, and it was proclaimed not by just anyone, but by an angel. The shepherds out at night, it tells us, looking there, watching over their sheep, tending to them in the darkness of the night out there, because you know, I bet the stars are beautiful out there for the shepherds. It's not like here. They didn't have all the city lights and all this power to light up everything. It was dark. And they were out there, and just imagine the light when an angel shows up to bring them news, a glorious announcement that they received. But as I said, what I love about this and how God shows his love for us is this glorious, this most herald announcement of the birth of a king, not just any king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was brought to the shepherds, common people. Means that we can receive it. It was given to us. You know, we're common people. But the announcement that was given said there's going to be a sign. And this is the sign. It said that in Bethlehem, which these shepherds knew where that was, you're going to find a babe lying in a manger. What we've talked about before, a feeding trough. Not some king that we would think fit for a bed. Laying on some hay. They said it would be wrapped in cloth, or some versions talk about the swaddling cloth or strips of cloth. You see, that was the sign. But the sign wasn't that this is the baby, but that was the sign of his destiny. Because he was going to be crucified on that cross and then wrapped in cloth. See, from the very moment Christ was born, his destiny was being foretold. There was an appointed time, not just any time in history, an appointed time for him to be born. There was an appointed time for him to die. There was an appointment on his life from the very moment that he came. And they said, this is the sign. You're going to find this babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I'm sure in their mind, they just probably didn't understand that. Just as if you're anything like me, there's some things I just don't understand when it comes to how God works. Because if I'm going to send my son, it would have sure been a far better cry than what that was. But God wanted him available to all people. This announcement came and it heralded that. But you know, we hear all through Scripture and we look at a testimony must have witnesses. There was a witness to this announcement because when the angel made the announcement, it was sent by God to make the announcement. A heavenly host Angels, probably more than we could ever count, appeared. Can you imagine the angelic choir of the angels singing that? As it says there, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. God chose at this appointed time to send his son. He sent the message to some common shepherds. And he sent an angel. He gave them a sign. And then he sent a witness to testify to that through those angels. But you know, an announcement is no good unless we do something with it. These shepherds, I think they were pretty smart guys myself. Because we see next in this passage that the shepherds were led by this announcement. They didn't just receive it and, oh, isn't that great? King of kings is born, there's a Savior. Let's go on to it. No, they were led. It caused them to move into action and to do something. And we see that it tells us there that in verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds immediately responded to the announcement. Church, let me tell you something vitally, I believe is vitally important right here. When Holy Spirit gives you an announcement, when Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to respond immediately. Do you know why? Because the longer you wait, the colder it gets. The more times you hear it and don't respond, the less you begin to hear it. You know, there's times in my life I do my best every morning. I'm not perfect. When I get up, to immediately spend some personal time with the Lord. Different people choose different times of the day. I choose number one first thing because I'm beginning my day and I want to begin it in the Word and with the Lord. But here's why I do it immediately when I get up. Because just like the other day, I get up, I'm going to get to it in a minute. And I went to sleep last night without spending that time that I wanted to with the Lord. Life is busy. Would you all agree with that? Things come and things go. We've got a lot going on. If we don't respond immediately, it's very likely we won't. Or maybe what about those people that hear the call of the Savior as a child? One day, 80 years later, one day, and do you know there's some who die thinking tomorrow, and there is no tomorrow. Holy Spirit speaks today. He still moves in lives. We still receive announcements from the Lord. What else do we see about these shepherds? Because I believe they teach us great things. They received that news. They allowed it to lead their actions and their life. And they immediately responded to it. And the shepherds searched until they found the baby Jesus. Promise you, when the shepherds went into Bethlehem, there wasn't the billboard out front like you used to slide the letters in, or one of our nice little neon signs like we got says, oh, baby Jesus, he's at 101 Bethlehem Middle Road. This is in the middle of the night. It's dark. Most people are probably asleep. There's houses everywhere. You know, I think of this so often when I think of this story. I look at it from the idea and think, you know, here's this quiet little town, and Mary and Joseph is staying out in a manger. Why are they in the manger? Because there was no room in the inn. There has been a decree put out. They had to go. Guess what? There are a bunch of people in Bethlehem. It's probably busting at the seams. So the shepherds come in with this announcement. They've immediately made their way from the fields into the town, and they're searching and they're looking because they're probably thinking, just like we would, it's at some prestigious place. But they searched and they searched until they found baby Jesus. But I believe it also tells us there at verse 16, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the babe as he lay in a manger. The shepherds didn't just search, but they searched with urgency. I mean, when Holy Spirit's speaking, we need to search, we need to seek, we need to be led, we need to have an urgency in our life. You know, it's exciting to spend time with him, it's exciting to hear from him, but these shepherds, They received that announcement. That announcement led them, but also the encounter with Christ caused the shepherds to share the message. You see what it said there at verse 17? When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. The shepherds shared what was told to them. Well, what was told to them? Look back over at verse 10. It said, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? Good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds didn't go about telling whatever they wanted to tell. They went and told what they heard because they encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. It changed their life. It empowered them, and they immediately began sharing what they were told. They were sharing that it was the good news. What do we call the gospel of Jesus Christ? You often hear it, the good news. But just as the shepherds went immediately and they searched and they did it with urgency, when we experience Christ in our life and He changes us, when we have an encounter with Christ because we've heard an announcement about the good news, we have an encounter with Him, it changes us and it gives us power. And we need to be sharing with urgency, church, because every day that passes by is one day sooner that Christ is coming. And the life-changing stories, we've often heard, it's only good news if they get it in time. Amen? So just as these shepherds were sharing what they had been told, not anything, we can't just share anything we want about Jesus Christ, we share the good news. We share about the birth, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We share about His perfect, unsinned life. He was sinless. And we share about His journey to the cross, to die on the cross for me, for you, for everyone. What do we hear this news also that they share? The news that we need to share, it says that it was for what? All people. This isn't a message to keep hidden. It's not just a message for the white folks. It's not just a message for the rich folks. It's a message for everyone. We know that Christ died for everyone because there's only one way, and that's through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. You're either headed to heaven with a relationship with Christ, or you're headed the opposite direction, straight to a fiery life in hell after death if you don't receive. I ask you this morning, how much does someone have to be an enemy of yours to not share the good news with them? I heard that quoted, not just that, but something similar one time. A guy who didn't believe, he said, I don't believe. But he said, how much of an enemy would I have to be of someone to not be told? It's not our job to make them receive. We don't save anyone. But it is our responsibility after an encounter with Christ to share. And I believe that we can look at this and probably tell that these shepherds didn't just go share the news. I'm sure they didn't go and prop up against them. Hey, Joe, you know, an angel, he came to me early. He told me about this baby that was born. Oh, we made our way into Bethlehem. And sure enough, there it was, just like he said, a baby lying in a manger. That ain't going to get nobody's attention. Sure wouldn't be very convincing to me. But I believe these shepherds went enthusiastically. Can you imagine how you would be if an angel came to you and gave you a message and you went and it was exactly like that angel said? Well, that's what happened. The Holy Spirit comes and He convicts through people as they share the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts within us. And just as those shepherds, we search and we find this Jesus, this King of kings and Lord of lords, and we have an encounter with Him and it changes who we are. And let me tell you what, I'm excited I'm not going to hell. I don't know about you, but I want people to know. I want to share, because let me tell you what Christ has done for me is the greatest thing that anyone has ever done for me. His love for me is greater than anyone else. And let me tell you what, before Christ, I was looking for love. People in this world are looking for love. And they're not going to know love until they find Christ. We believe that. I believe that because it says at verse 18, and all who heard it wondered. Excuse me. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. I don't believe if they were just melodramatic or ho-hum about it. You know, people wouldn't have wondered a thing about what they would say. They would have said, like they've talked about the disciples, these people are drunk. Say, what? No, I believe they were telling with enthusiasm, and people wondered it. Mary treasured it. But how does the story end? Look at verse 20. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told to them. They returned after their encounter. They returned to their life, praising God and sharing. When Christ comes into us and he changes us, we don't become monks. We don't go isolated or crawl under a cabinet. We return to life because God has changed us and he sends us out. With Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, he sends us back to our normal lives in this dark world to be a little bit of light for him and to share his light, because we have been changed and because we have encountered Christ. You see, that's what it is all about, with an encounter, with an announcement. That should wrap up Jesus' life. That should wrap up a year, but it should put us stepping out into the new year. Because you see, God knows that there are a circle of influence around you that you have. And that's where he sends you back, glorifying and praising God for what he's done. May you bow your heads. Father God, I thank you this morning. Father, once again, for the privilege of being your child through Christ. Lord, you know I was lost. You know I was dirty. And you know there was nothing that I could do about it. But you, in your love, provided a way to save me, to cleanse me, to wash me in the blood of Christ, make me new. And then, Father, you send me out in life to live it to the fullest, glorifying you. Thank you. Father, I pray for each and every one that's here now, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you would move in their hearts, Father, as Holy Spirit's been speaking. Father, you give us a call through this. And Father, it's a call, as your son said as part of his last will and testament, that we're to go, that we're to share. Father, we're to share the good news. We're to share the hope. Father, the hope that we have because you are in us, the hope that we have that the Creator, the Sovereign, the Holy One loves us and made a way for us to have a relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would help us to live life, to bring glory and to honor to you. Father, as we seek for you daily and we search for you, may we search with urgency. Father, you're there to be found, Lord. I claim this morning, Lord, what your word says, that if we'll draw near to you, you'll draw near to us, God. Father, help us. Help us in our weakness to draw nearer to you, Father, so that we may experience more and more of you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Would you just stand where you are? Would you just stand where you are this morning and just bow your heads?